Baron Al Red Jorgensen was seeing his nickname's color, both with his temper and in the blood that was flowing as both sides counted casualties against the sudden assault group.
What the motherfucking hell is going down here? That shithead hunter thinks he can sell us down the river like this?
Don't think it's him, Baron. He's getting the attack as much as we are.
Jorgensen shot a look over his shoulder at the men who were manning the blasters behind him. They were rattling off bursts of machine blaster fire at the Hellbender's wags as they passed, but were trying to conserve ammo and shoot on sight, their visibility impaired by the storm and the dust raised by the circling wags.
How we doing?
Can't see a fucking thing out there, Baron. I don't know if we're hitting anything or even what it is we're aiming at half the time.
Right. We need those crops, so we're gonna take them. Listen up. All wags head to the opposite camp and try to take the trade. Then get out as fast as you can.
Do you think anyone actually heard that?
Don't know, but at least we've tried. Now hit the fucking gas.
Aisha heard the message from her father on the radio, and she tried to hotwire her wag. The sect driver had taken the ignition key with him. As he was now lying chilled in the center of the arena bloodbath, there was no way that either Aisha or Claudette was going to risk getting it back again.
Lovely man, your father. No mention of us in there.
Did you expect anything else?
Aisha joined the wire she was working with.
Saw my brothers do this all the time. Please put this time, you stupid bastard. Shit! I thought that'd never happen. Let's get the fuck out of here and wait for the dust to settle.
In this storm?
Fuck yeah!
Swinging on the wheel, Aisha pulled it out of the convoy, straight into the line of the approaching wag. The Hellbenders, led by Corral, had completed four or five circuits of the convoy, and the firefight was starting to get monotonous. Ryan and Christy exchanged glances that spoke volumes, and both knew that their thoughts were being echoed by the other companions. Any attempt at strategy had gone out the window. After initial Hellbender gains, the firefight had degenerated into the assault party driving around and around, taking shots at whatever they could see through the storm, while Charity's sect men were now all safely inside wags that offered them some protection from the Hellbender's fire. It couldn't go on like this. Sooner or later, ammo or fuel would run out, and then it would descend to hand-to-hand combat. Glancing across at Corral, the one-eyed warrior could see that whatever shreds of sanity and reason had kept the men going for so long had now all been cast to the winds of the storm. The Hellbender's leader was staring maniacally through the windshield, hunched over the metal box on his lap, stroking it and muttering to it as he piloted the wag in a continuing circle, occasionally whooping as he saw some blaster fire hit home. Aisha pulled the wag out, stamping on the accelerator to get the vehicle out of its confinement quickly. The wags had been parked close to one another, and she braced herself as her wag caught the rear of another wag.
Shit! Look at those sparks! Shit!
Their wag shot out across the gap between the convoy and the rock wall. Aisha stamped on the brake, making the vehicle skid on the uneven, loose surface. It skidded in a circle, and she righted it just in time to be facing the entrance at the rear of the Charity convoy, which was blocked by the Hellbender's circling wags.
Oh, fuck!
To get this close to getting away, and then to be chilled by the very people who were supposed to be on your side? Claudette watched open-mouthed and wide-eyed as the lead wag closed on theirs, seeing through the grime and dust, an equally surprised, gaunt face as the driver jammed on his brakes and went into a skid, attempting to pilot his wag into the narrow space between the women's wag and the convoy that still stood in the arena. Aisha mirrored Carell's actions, swinging the wheel of her wag and risking crushing the wag against the rock wall. The two wags swung violently away from each other, but it was too little, too late. Aisha found herself thrown across the wheel, the hard plastic bruising her chest and stomach, knocking the air from her. When the wags came to a halt, she was left dazed and confused. She shook her head to try to clear it and felt a violent need to vomit. Bleary-eyed, she caught a glimpse of Claudette. The dark-skinned girl stared back at her from one lifeless eye, the other impaled with a long sliver of glass driven through her left eye and into the brain. She died blissfully unaware of the pain that had caused her.
Oh, fuck!
Oh, so good you fucking been! What? You heard me. We were fucked either way. But you decided to choose the worst kind.
Fuck it. Look after yourselves, then.
Ayesha opened the wag door on her side of the cab and slid out into the sandstorm. Outside, the hellbenders were pouring out of their wags, their circling assault halted by the crash. The hellbender leader was one of the first to hit the desert floor, having given orders over the radio for his people to disperse and take the fight outside. Corel grasped an ancient cane in one hand and a long-bladed saber in the other. Coming face to face with him, Ayesha stopped dead in her tracks, taken aback by the wild-eyed gaunt man. Jack, Dean, and Danny were out of the second wag quickly, and the bespectacled youth led the way through the crowd of wild-eyed fighters to the crash site, where he saw Corel looming over Ayesha through the dust and smoke. Ayesha was sure that he would cut her down where she stood. Then suddenly, the madness in his eyes cleared, and just for a second, registered tenderness.
Poor child.
The man brushed past her.
I'm coming for you, you sons of bitches!
He was heading for the front of the convoy, but Baron Al's wag was just moving off.
Ayesha!
Danny!
You're okay?
Just. And it won't stay that way unless we find some way of getting away from this slaughterhouse.
This way. Find wag.
Yeah, good idea, Jack. Where the hell is everyone?
Doc emerged from the chaos.
My dear boy, I have finally got here. But of the others...
Dean and Jack looked around. It was almost impossible to see in the swirling dust and smoke of the battlefield. Ryan and Christy had to be in it, and from the sounds of blaster fire and close combat, it seemed that mere yards away, the Charity Sekhmen had emerged from their wags to take up hand-to-hand combat with the Hellbenders. Suddenly, Dean caught sight of Christy's Titian flame of hair moving freely in the breeze as the woman encountered a Sekhmen from Charity.
Christy!
As she moved nearer, they could see that the Sekhmen had mistaken her for one of the more docile women from the wag.
Look out!
The Sekhmen had a Glock hand blaster and a skinning knife. He thrust at her with the blade, driving her backward. He grinned with a leer and thrust the knife to try to rip the shoulder of her coat to expose her bare flesh. But Christy stepped under the blow and struck at his vulnerable side, striking below the heart with the heel of her hand. As the jarring blow turned the triumphant leer to a look of astonished agony, she drew back her arm and delivered a straight-fingered blow to his throat that ruptured the tissue within. The man sank to the ground. Christy raised one leg and delivered a lethal blow with the silver toe of her boot.
Nice to know you haven't lost your touch, babe.
Was there ever any doubt, lover?
No, not really.
The one-eyed warrior emerged from the dust and smoke, a styre in one hand and his panga in the other.
I don't know who's chilling who out there, and I don't think they do either. My bet is we should get the hell out and regroup on the outside of the rocks. Try and see what the hell is actually happening in here.
We could take one of the wags at the rear. They've all gone bloodshot crazy out here. And I figure we should just shoot whoever gets in the way. Can't trust any of them not to chill us.
Right, son. Only problem is, how do we let JB and Mildred know what the hell is going on?
How the hell are we supposed to know what's going on here, Jenny?
The armorer's wag spun yet again in the increasingly dense mix of smoke and dust that rose in the arena.
And how the hell am I supposed to know?
It's your operation, not ours, babe. And what was that about abandoning the wags because they've crashed? Your boy ain't exactly a tactical genius, now is he?
Shit, how do I know? It must be something that happened back there.
How about making it happen here?
JB saw that the wag driven by Tulk and bearing Baron Hutter began to move out into the middle of the arena.
What?
He's moving and we can't keep going in circles forever, so brace yourselves.
JB put his foot down hard to the floor and shot toward the moving wag. Tulk had moved cautiously, trying to sight the assault convoy as it came around again. This gave JB the slight edge he needed. As the Baron's wag moved outward, JB drove straight at it, flinging his wag to one side at the last moment so that it caught the Baron's wag with a broadside. Behind the armorer, the other wags in his convoy skidded to a halt in order to avoid crashing into the leading vehicle, and the doors opened to discharge a crew hell-bent on revenge.
Oh, my God, John! You could have given us a little more warning than that.
Had to be done, love. Hutter was trying to get over to the other side.
Why the hell would he do that?
My guess is he wants to grab the women in the confusion. Shit, looks like Jurgensen has the same idea. Get the fuck out!
Jibby grabbed Mildred and pulled her through the door, diving for cover and carrying her with him as Jorgensen's wag pulled up too late to avoid a collision with the two wags that had already crashed into the middle of the arena.
Oh, tell me this isn't going to get worse.
Terrell was charging on foot after the crashed wag.
Dark Knight. I could tell you, but I'd probably be lying. Come on. Let's see if we can get over to the other side. Ryan and Christy were with Corell, so maybe they're still over there somewhere.
JB raised his M4000 in order to cut a path through any firefight they may chance on. Mildred had her Checkmate ZKR.